Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with my dear friend, Miss Ella Priya.
Hello.
Hi Ella. I'm so excited to, this is what I do with my friends. I like convince them to come on my podcast and hang out.
I know, it's so exciting. I was like, oh great, I'm basically like having lunch with TK.
Yeah.
But there's just a mic in front of us.
Exactly. Okay, Ella, for those fans out there that don't know who you are yet, give us the 411 on you.
That's honestly such a hard question these days because I'm like, I don't know who I am or what I do.
Well, where are you from?
But okay, where I'm from. So I was born in London. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Rome and then I moved to New York for college. And I've now lived in LA for the past 3 years.
You have like the coolest story.
Yeah, it's definitely like very worldly. So yeah, I spent most of my life in Europe. And then I've honestly, it's kind of crazy now. This year, I will have lived in the U.S. 10 years. Which is like as long as I lived in Rome.
So are you a dual citizen?
No, I'm in the U.S. on a visa.
Wow.
Which sucks.
So, are you trying to get citizenship here?
Yeah, I'm trying to like figure out a way. So, you know, any like eligible single men with a green card, hit me up, you know.
Yeah. My mom married into like, I guess, being a citizen.
Oh, really?
But like for love. Yeah.
Yeah. Where's she from?
Canada.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
But it's a way to do it.
I know. No, I mean, like, I'm on, like, a work visa, and it's been fine for the past couple of years, but it's definitely getting to the point where I'm like, okay, I need something, like, that I have long-term.
Yeah.
Like, it's stressful. Like, every, like, 5 years or something, I have to, like, think about, oh, I have to renew my visa, I have to get a new visa or whatever it is. So it's, like,
so what's your passport right now?
Is it a UK passport, British passport.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, which is also so crazy because I was born in London, obviously, yeah. So I have a UK passport. I lived there till I was 7. And when I moved to Rome, at the time when I lived there, like, there's no point in having two European passports. It's like, I have, like, my residency in Rome and, like, I have, like, the ID, but I didn't have an Italian passport. Because also the British passport was way more powerful at the time. But then, because of Brexit, now I'm not even part of the EU.
Oh.
So when I go home to Rome, I literally have to go through immigration now.
No.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
That's crazy.
I know. So I actually applied for an Italian passport. I'd say over like 5 years ago now.
Oh, you did?
But Italy is just like the slowest process ever. And they literally, there's no way, I can't go online and say what point my like application is at. They just don't tell you anything. Like one day they'll send you a letter or something.
Well, manifesting that happens.
I know. I'm like, one day, hopefully I'll get it.
That's crazy.
Now I want it because like I want a European passport.
And you're fluent in Italian, right?
Yeah.
Wild. So you went to New York for college.
Yes. I went to Fordham in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. Shout out. I loved Fordham. And then I graduated in 2017. And then I stayed in New York for like another 3 years, and then the pandemic hit. And I got a call to come here, work here in LA. And I'd always said I wouldn't move here. Uh-huh. I hated LA.
How'd you been?
I had been like a couple of times for work, and just in general, it never was like appealing to me. And I'm obsessed with New York. Like, I love New York. So, uh-huh. I saw my whole future there. But then during the pandemic, it was like I was working a job and everyone got laid off because like COVID and like all the clients, like, pulled out. And so I was in New York in my two-bedroom apartment with my roommate for like 2 months, basically doing nothing. And I got a call from David Dobrik, who was like, do you want to come out here and work? And I was like, I mean, there's no time like this time. Like, I had no reason to stay in New York.
Well, at least LA had the beach and
exactly.
Outdoor. Like, you can kind of escape, I guess.
Because I think if I had gotten that call and it wasn't during the pandemic, yeah, and like I was like still working and like living my life in New York, I don't know if I would have done it.
Yeah.
But at that point, like, so many of my close friends had left New York because everyone, you know, went back to their house, uh-huh, or like went to their families or like moved. So I literally didn't have anyone left. And I was so far from home, like from like Italy and London. And I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. And my roommate was moving to do a master's in like Spain. So we were both like leaving our apartment. I was like, let's do it. And like,
that is crazy.
2 weeks later, I moved to LA.
You're such a risk taker.
I know. That was like definitely a big risk that I took, but obviously it worked out great.
Wow. Okay. And what did you study at Fordham?
Communications and marketing.
When you were there, what did you think you were going to do?
I always, during my experience, the reason why I also loved like studying in New York and like going to Fordham is that I had internships like all throughout college. Like starting sophomore year, I had a summer internship every year, and then I would have like, in the fall, I would do an internship, like, part-time.
Where'd you intern?
So I always intern at ad agencies. Because that's what I thought I wanted to do. So, like, I interned at, like, my first internship was at a PR company. Hated it. It was a really small PR firm. It was all women, and they were all bitches. Like, I was like, this is, like, mean girl culture.
Oh, yeah.
And so I decided I didn't want to do that.
I had a shit ton of shitty internships as well.
Yeah. And it, like,
that shapes you.
Yeah. And the first one was like unpaid too. And it was like as a sophomore or something.
Yeah.
And then the next one, I worked at like two pretty big agencies in New York and I loved it. Like, I think my problem was I was in like account management. Like, my internships were in like account, but I was always super interested in like the creative side. I just didn't have the skills. So like, I would always become close to like the art directors and the creative directors because I was just so interested in what they were doing. And I didn't have, like, the actual skills to do
that. What do you mean, the actual skills?
Like, I mean, for some, like, art direction creatives, like, you have to know graphic design. You know, have to know, like,
the
all
programs
those.
The programs. Stuff.
And I was learning them in college, but I, like, wanted to learn more. But all my internships were in account. But I loved them. Like, I worked on, like, a really cool, like, brands. I worked, what brands I worked with that I really like? I worked on, like, Absolute, like,
sick.
Seagram's, uh-huh, Pirate's Booty. Loved Pirate's Booty.
Yum.
I ate Pirate's Booty for, like, the whole internship. But yeah, so I always did ad agency stuff, and that's what I thought like I was gonna do. And my first job out of college was technically at an agency, so I was hired by an agency, but I was hired as an embed for the client.
Okay.
So like, I worked for Samsung. Like, I worked at Samsung, but I was hired through an agency. So I was just like the person on the ground through the agency, but I basically worked on.
Is that how you got connected to Casey?
Yes.
No way.
Oh, trust me. The whole whirlwind is crazy of how I got into this.
Because Samsung. Okay, so today, deadass, I found out that you worked for 368. I am the biggest Casey Neistat fan.
What?
Ever. Like, I'm literally afraid to meet him because I'm like, I'm so obsessed
That's
with him.
So
like,
funny.
I don't want to ruin it. I don't think he will, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally
So
know
I
what
found
you mean.
This out today because I was like listening to all your podcasts last week that you were on, getting ready for this interview. And I was like, oh my God, not Ella literally working at 368.
I was employee number one.
That is insane. Like, yeah. I thought maybe when I graduated FITM, I would want to move there to work there specifically.
No way.
Yeah.
That would have been insane. Can you imagine?
Isn't it? Yeah. No, I can't imagine. But on the way here, I called Matt And I was like, give me the tea on Ella. Like, tell me all about it.
Tell me the tea. And you know Matt will tell you all the tea.
I was just like, what's the direction I could go in that, you know, most people have? And he was like, yeah, 368. Like, Casey, I was like, oh my. He was like, TK, you're going to love this. And he was the first ever person. He was like, TK, you need to meet Ella Priya. Have you ever met her? And I was like, no, like, who is this? And
Matt did?
Yes. Matt was like, yes, you and Ella, I know we'll hit it off. Like, you're going to be good friends, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I just trust Matt because he has he's good at connecting people.
Oh, he's so good
at it. And ever since, I've been like, I knew I liked her.
Even the first time we met, I was like, we low-key have a lot in common.
I know.
Because, like, a lot of people in this world, and, like, not to discredit anyone, like, haven't worked real jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or came into it in a very different way than I think, 100%. Like, you and I kind of did. Which is also why I think it gives us like a unique perspective like on this world.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, I like when I graduated college, I got this job at Samsung and it was on the creator marketing team. So basically since I graduated college, I've always been in the creator digital space. And our team was like, it was awesome because it was a 3-person team and we were under like the big marketing org, but we had so much freedom. Because at the time it was still kind of new, like people like didn't really know what it was. So like we were kind of just like building what we wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And so I worked with a lot of YouTubers. At the time it was all tech YouTubers. We had Marquez, we had Jacqueline, we had like Casey, like all of those people. And they're all great. And that's also like how I like got introduced to the space.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I worked at Samsung for, I want to say like a year, because basically like while like I was there for a year, we did like huge stuff and we worked with Casey on this huge, we did this shoot, which we turned an abandoned mall in Milwaukee into a winter wonderland.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that. That was like one of the most insane like things I've ever done still to this day.
He was like the huge Samsung guy.
I mean, he had like a huge deal. Like we worked with him on everything.
Yeah.
And then like through him, like we did the trip to Milwaukee and we invited like, I think it was like 10 other tech YouTubers to like film the experience, which thinking back now to it, I'm like, that was an influencer trip. And it was before
the time. It was like a brand trip.
It was a brand trip. But like we didn't see it like that. But and so it was great working with him. And then my old boss at Samsung, Paul, kind of worked with Casey and they wanted to start 368. So Casey kind of brought on Paul to help him build this. And Paul brought on me and my old colleague and we kind of like migrated slowly to working for 368. And then we like had the space on Broadway. And then I left 368, or I left Samsung and started 368. And it was just the three of us.
That is crazy. Okay. So did you watch Casey's videos beforehand and stuff? Okay.
I actually had watched his videos before starting at Samsung because a friend of mine was obsessed with him. And like when he was doing the daily vlogs, she would like watch, and I lived with her for a bit, so we watched them all the time. So yeah, I did know about him before I started working with him and definitely was a fan. Like he's amazing. Like definitely like kind of paved the way. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Paved the way
for a lot of people in the industry for sure.
Totally.
And then 368, I was there for like 2.5 years almost.
Wow. And what was your position there?
Of my career is like I always joke about this. If you go on my LinkedIn, it makes absolutely no sense because I've always worked like aside from Samsung, that was the biggest corporate job I've ever had. Mm-hmm. It's always been like startups and stuff. It's kind of like making up your own roles.
Yeah.
So I started as kind of like our events producer. So I was like, I've always done like production stuff. And so when we opened the space, we started by doing a lot of events. And we were doing like a lot of content and, you know, partnering with the brand. So I did that. And then as we hired more people, I kind of titled myself head of production.
Okay.
Because
word.
I was.
Yeah.
You know, I was the only one.
You have to.
I was the head of it.
When no one knows your title, you have to make your own.
Yeah.
You really do.
So I basically just like ran all the production at 368. We then grew the team like a good amount in the first like year. We brought on a lot of different people and it was great. I mean, what we did at 368, people are still confused about. I think they're still confused about what 368 is to this day.
Well, I was gonna say, what made you decide to take the leap of leaving Samsung and going to this startup-y, I don't really know what this is.
Yeah.
Did you fully get the vision?
I think I got the vision Samsung was great, but like I just know that I'm not a corporate girl.
Yeah.
Like it was like I'm used to being in the room with all these people, brainstorming with them, like figuring this stuff out. When there's so many like approval steps, this and that, like it becomes so much that I just like you know what, I'll try this thing. I also like loved the team that I worked with. So like if they were leaving, I was like, I want to keep working with them because we all worked so well together.
I mean, that in itself, though, is a big risk.
Oh, it was a huge risk.
Yeah.
Huge risk. And like I worked in like this huge space that was empty for like months. And like that me and my other colleague, we basically became like contractors. We like had to get a kitchen built.
Yeah.
We put walls up. We were painting. We were like putting electricity in, like stuff that of course I had never done mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. We just have to figure it out.
Epic.
And so we like built the space up, and then we started doing more and more stuff like within the space and just working with other like clients and creators. And the main, when I was there, our main thing was like connecting people.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, a brand would come to us and they'd be like, we want to use a bunch of creators for this. And then we'd, you know, show them the best creators that we know and like have our network in. And then it kind of became a space for people to come and film and hang out and like mm-hmm. do stuff. So it was really fun.
So it was like an agency meets production company
yeah.
type.
Yeah.
Thing.
And the space was like the main part of it because we were on Broadway, like in basically in Soho, and it was huge.
Such a great location.
Yeah. And so people would always come by in the basement. We had like people would come edit and film. We had like a little studio, which then became
Who's people
like a lot of like New York YouTubers, creators.
No way.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
So we worked with like a lot of people who were like basic, because that's the other thing that New York doesn't. I think now it's a bit more, but at the time, LA is way, it's way easier to collab with people here, right? It's way more easier to meet people. Like, you know where to go to like see all the influencers.
Yeah.
In New York, there isn't much of that.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of the like YouTubers and whatnot maybe don't live in the city. They maybe live in like Jersey or they live in Brooklyn or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so there's no real place like meet people or like, you know, go hang out that's not like a coffee shop or like unless you have like some crazy membership. So that kind of became the space that it was.
Wow. Okay. What an experience.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in 4th place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 Hard Challenge, but 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and 0 sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code
TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
What do you feel like you learned from Casey working? Because was he your boss?
Kind of. He was like all of our bosses, but he wasn't that much involved in like the business
part
of it.
He wasn't your direct point.
Yeah, but he definitely like, you know, any big decision he would have to like, you know, approve and whatnot.
But just being in his orbit, because I think he's so such a genius. What did you learn from him?
I mean, the biggest thing that Casey, I think, taught a lot of us is he does not take no for an answer.
Really? Mm-hmm.
So no matter,
like the Chris Jenner, no.
But it's just, you know, like if we had to get something done, there no wasn't an option.
Wow.
So I think that also taught me a lot, like in my career and just like especially in like production, because I think the main thing of being a producer is just like being a problem solver,
mm-hmm. and, figuring it out.
Yeah, and with him it was just like you gotta figure it out. No matter what, you gotta figure it out. Like, it would be the crazy. It would be like, you know, we're turning an abandoned mall into a winter wonderland. You're like, well,
figure it out.
So I think that was definitely, like, the biggest thing was, like, figure it out. And I'm trying to think what. I mean, like, yeah, he.
Was that the craziest thing you feel like you had to figure out, the abandoned mall?
It's definitely a lot of different things. Again, also because, like, at the time, I was pretty inexperienced. Like, I had internships. I had worked. But, you know, to be like, one of three in, like, a company that, like, is mm-hmm. still growing and, like, having to make decisions and having to, like, do stuff. It definitely was scary, but yeah, the figuring stuff out was the main thing. Like, it was anything and everything. The winter wonderland, that was like when I was still at Samsung, but at 368, it was more so, you know, like we'd put on an event in like 2 days, or you know, we'd have to like find some crazy thing, or we'd have to paint a wall, or like make something look completely different. Yeah, which was a good thing too, that, you know, not being a corporate huge company, like we could be scrappy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, we needed a wall painted, I'd paint the wall. Yeah, so I was like, I'll just do it.
Who
like,
else?
We got to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah. Who else is
I don't have the time to hire
to
someone.
To hire someone.
Yeah.
Okay, so you learned you don't take, or he never takes no for an answer.
Yeah.
Is there
which,
anything
like,
else?
The learning part of that is just that I think that you can do whatever you set your mind to is mm-hmm. like the greater part of that lesson, I think. And that.
So inspirational.
Yeah. And like, you know, like if you really want something, like you can make it possible.
Totally.
Like I think a lot of people like stunt themselves really early on in a decision to be like, oh well, if that can't happen, if that doesn't work, then I won't do it. It's like, no, like you work through that, you get to the point where you can be like, okay, I can make this happen. But I think that, and just like his creativity, like he definitely hit the one thing that I will say I was so surprised about, like watching him make his videos at the time he was still making them, was he's like kind of like one hit wonder kind of guy. Like, I see people film now, and it's like, oh, they do retakes, they do this, they do that. Like,
really?
He's so clear with the vision of what he's filming. Like, you know when he'll, like, walk into a room, and there'll be, like, multiple shots of him, like, walking into yeah. the room? He literally sets his camera, shoots, done. Like,
wow.
Makes that three-second clip, like, done, and
he doesn't overthink,
He
I
doesn't
guess.
Overthink, and I think he is so, like, his vision is pretty clear beforehand of whatever he's doing, that it's so much easier because
he's like editing as he films.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think just like being very aware of what you're going to do and like having a clear vision before you do it, because obviously it's great to wing stuff and like mm-hmm. you can make amazing content and do amazing things with just like figuring it out on the spot, mm-hmm. but I think like structurally and making it easier for yourself to like have a clear vision prior to like helps a lot.
Wow, I love that. That's really good. Okay, so while you're at 368, this is how you met David.
Yes. So it's literally
crazy.
This
is the most banana story
ever.
It's
bananas.
You have a crazy life story.
Thank you. I'd like to think so. But yeah, no, while I was at 368, we did a pop-up for David for his merch because he was doing pop-ups around, and like they did one in New York, and obviously like Casey and David were friends, and like they had done videos together and whatnot, and our space was huge, and it was perfect for something like that.
And were you like familiar with YouTubers? Like, were you
yeah.
watching YouTubers? Did you
I
watch
think
him?
I became more familiar when I worked at Samsung, because I spent like as like a junior employee, I was also the person like finding people on YouTube
yeah.
to work with, so I was watching
like,
a shit ton
cool.
of YouTubes.
Ella.
Yeah. Exactly. But at the time it was like tech YouTubers. It was
yeah.
a very different world. But while I was at Samsung, I started watching David's videos, and actually I will say I became close to David, or met him like more so on a friendly level, when I was at 368. But when I was at Samsung, we actually did an event, and I flew out the whole vlog squad to New York and like put them up, and like we did this whole thing with them with Samsung.
Shut up.
Yeah, so I had an interaction with him before, but it was very like It was very work. Okay. Like, I was just, like, the junior employee was, like, running around doing stuff. But that was, like, the first thing that I actually ever did with them.
But it just goes to show you always remember the way people make you feel.
Yeah.
You know, and if you, for some reason, had a bad experience,
yeah,
like, the rest of this probably wouldn't have happened.
Totally.
So it's just, I feel like I'm always paying attention because I've been the employee so many times for people, and I pay attention to who, like, what creators or what talent or, you know, how they treat me.
Yeah. And I think it's the other way too, because I think I remember when I met like David again more at 368, like he remembered me.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, you were at Samsung.
No way.
And like in my head, I was like, there's no way he remembers that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But even from our small interaction, I guess
so
it was a good one and he remembered it. Yeah.
Wow, which that's was good. Great. Okay. So then you.
So then we did a pop up for David at 368 and it was like a 3-day pop up. It was the most insane thing I've ever experienced. Like, the line was around like 3 blocks.
Was this peak vlogging era?
Yeah, this was like 2019, I believe. Yeah, 2019. So it was like his peak. He was like doing amazing. Like, it was crazy. And I've never seen so many people. Like, crazy.
I feel like I remember seeing stories of that.
It was crazy. And so we did this whole pop-up. It was for his merch. He came. He was with like Natalie and I think Jason had come and like a couple other people. And so we did the pop-up, and I was at the time in charge because we had a company who was doing like the build-out for the pop-up that I think FanJoy had hired or something. So, but I was in charge of like the production of like our space and all security. So like I was the girl with the
girl.
With the mic being like,
stop.
David is arriving, David is arriving, Eagle has landed.
No way.
Yeah. So I was kind of like their go-to person.
Because you were in charge of the events and production and stuff.
So, yeah, exactly. So it was like we worked with that a lot. And so then I was like their main point of contact, like when they were coming to the space and like making sure he had security, because it was insane. Like there were like thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Oh my gosh.
It was definitely the most crazy experience. But then yeah, we spent obviously like those 3 days together, and I think it was the first or second night they like wanted to go out, and so I was like, oh, like let's, you know, I think we had like organized a dinner for them, and they're like, oh, are you guys coming? And I was like, I didn't really realize I was invited, but sure I'll come. And then yeah, so we all had dinner together, and then we went out. I like took them to like a club and a bar.
Fun.
And we had like a really good time, and it was like a very like friendly level, and again, like we're all around the same age, like mm-hmm. we're similar in a lot of stuff, and yes, yeah, so we became really close then. And I remember David then actually was like, will you move to L.A.?
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, no.
It's such a YouTuber thing. To,
I know.
Like, they're like, no, move to L.A.
They're like,
right
no,
now.
Just like move to L.A. right now. And I was like, no thanks. But yeah, so it was great. We had so much fun. And then he came back a couple other times for like another, I think we did like an event with like EA that him and Jason came for. And then anytime he would come to New York, they would always come by the studio or like go to Casey's or like mm-hmm. come do stuff. So yeah, I ended up seeing them like quite a lot. And then we kind of just always kind of kept in contact. I've told this story before, but David always says that one of the reasons why he like knew that he wanted to hire me was because I think it was the pop-up day, or maybe it was like another time that they had come. They were about to miss their flight and they were like in the Uber, and he had like texted me, and I was like, you should get on a helicopter, just go get on a Blade. And he was like,
wait, why did he text you? Was he like, we're about to miss our flight?
Yeah, I think because they had left and they were like something about their flight. They had said like, oh, we're gonna miss their flight.
Okay.
Something about that. And I was like, you should take a Blade. And he was like, what do you mean? How do I do that? And I was like, I'll do it. So I just like booked them this helicopter that
this
left like 10 minutes later. And
from the city to
from the city
airport?
To JFK.
Okay.
It's literally like a 5-minute helicopter and it drops you off right at JFK.
Get out.
But like in New York, like if you're hit traffic, it can take like 2 hours uh-huh. to get to JFK. And
how much is it?
It's like a Blade. I think it's like $700 or something
per like,
I think
passenger?
It's actually not that. No, you can, because you can get on a Blade with other people for only like $250.
Shut up.
It's worth it.
That's like sometimes how much an Uber is.
No, I know. That's why it's worth it. And I remember there, because it was like 4 of them, so I think it was around like $700 to like $1,000, which mm-hmm. realistically for like a couple of people isn't that bad mm-hmm. if you're gonna like about to
for
miss your flight
I
and like take 5 minutes to get to JFK. But I also, the funny thing is, so he was like, okay, do it, and I booked it. And he had, like, sent me his card, and it, like, wasn't working. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just put it on my card. And, like,
oh, my God.
I'm, like, 20, I don't know, 2 at the time or something. And I'm, like, I have
That's
no
expensive.
Money. I was like, oh, my God. My credit card limit's basically, like, that. So I'm, like, so stressed
You're like,
out about
go through.
It. I was like, fuck. But I did it. It worked out. And they got on the helicopter. They also, like, got content. They, like, made it into the vlog or something. And they made their flight, and he was really happy with it. And then I know now that he's now told this story. He's like, what's the helicopter girl? Like, get the helicopter girl.
Get
we gotta
out.
Hire her. Yeah.
That so, is
like, that was the thing that stuck with him. But it was because, like, as I said before, it's like problem solving.
Yes.
You need
making life
do
easier
that.
For him.
Exactly. So it was just kind of like, oh, I was like, oh, I got you. Like, we'll book it. It took me 5 minutes. I did it all. I called them. Like, I had a relationship and it worked out.
That,
that was the thing
amazing.
That made him remember me, I guess.
So what did he want to hire you for? Or why did he want you to move to LA?
I don't know. Okay. The initial, oh, no. For the real time, it was they were starting like a bunch of different new stuff. Like they had the podcast going and he had these like other companies that he was starting and whatnot. So they just like needed more help because, I mean, when I realized that behind him, there's literally two people.
Oh, it's insane.
I was like, you know, like people like Mr. Beast have like 20 to 30 employees.
Or I would say more probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So very surprising that someone at the caliber of David only had that many. But yeah. And so initially it was kind of like they wanted help with like production stuff again and like helping him with just like his like daily life and whatnot. Because initially they had called me a couple months before I actually moved and they asked if I wanted to come to be his assistant. Like what Taylor is right now.
Oh. And was Taylor not there yet?
No. This they had called me like right before they hired Taylor, I think, or met Taylor. Mm. And I basically had like kind of said no because I was like still at another job and I again didn't want to move to LA. And I also like didn't really want to be an assistant.
A personal assistant.
Because I'd already been working for like
well, that's a completely different
three,
line
four
of work
years.
Than
yeah.
what you had been doing.
Exactly. And it like wasn't in my career trajectory. But then they called me again because I told him when they called me initially, I was like, look, if you ever have anything else that you guys need help with, like I'm totally down. I just don't necessarily want to do that.
Wow.
So then they called me and I was like, okay, fuck it, I'll come.
Holy shit. Okay, I love this. Okay, I want to backtrack a little. Why do you feel like you're so good at problem solving, figuring out shit, last minute stuff?
I mean,
have you always been that way?
I think I've always been that way. I definitely think it slightly stems from my parents. Mm-hmm. Like my dad is very much like that. Like I've always been like my friends always joke that I'm like the dad of the group.
Okay. In like, what way?
In like the way that I'm always like making sure everything's good. Like I'm the one that's organizing stuff. I'm the one that's like making the reservations. Like
really?
I'm the one that's like fixing stuff for people. Like you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's just always been that way. Like my friends would be like, oh, I need help moving. Like I've helped so many of my friends move or like put up their TVs, like dumb
you
shit like that.
You just figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
You don't hire like to hire people.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I think that has always been the case. Like I'm also very like controlling is the wrong word because it sounds negative, but I like to be in control of my life. So like I think that also like transcends of like I would rather make the reservation for my friend group than it be in the hands of
someone else
who like, oh, they're not doing it or we don't know what to do. I'm like, I'd rather just like us have a plan and everyone's happy. And most of the time everyone wants that because they don't want to deal with it, you know. So I think it stems from that. My dad's also very similar. I've also always been like a last minute traveler. Which I swear to God, it does something to you.
Oh, it's a specific type of person.
Yes.
And they know how to, like...
Exactly. Because, like, my dad has always been like that. So, like, if my flights have never been booked more than a month in advance. Like, I have friends who will be like, oh, I have a flight in 6 months. I'm like, how the hell do you already have that flight? Like, how do you know what you're doing then? How do you know that you can leave that day?
No, literally.
And so I've always been, like, my dad has always been that way, too. Also, just because, like, he's really good at, like, being like, oh, we'll use miles or, like, I'll get this, like, I'll get a deal or something. And I swear that has, like, molded me into being that because I don't get stressed in, like, certain situations, which I think a lot of people do, which, like, helps with, you know, figuring stuff out.
I love chaos.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we love chaos, but also you can still, like, I know it's going to be fine, you know, and, like, I remember in college, my senior year, so I was graduating, and we had to leave our dorms, like, the day after your last exam, and I had my last exam, and I still didn't have a flight home, and, like, I got out of my exam, and my dad was like, okay, we got you a flight, you leave tomorrow, so then I, like, packed my whole dorm, and, like,
figured it out,
and then I left, but all my friends were like, Ella, when are you leaving, and I was like, I don't know, but I'll leave, like, I'm not gonna, I'll figure it out, and, like, that even, like, I think helps a lot in
that
in
makes
doing
a
that.
Great producer, though.
Yeah.
Scrappy, last minute figuring
stuff.
It out.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. I don't know. I feel like so many people that have that entrepreneur spirit are very drawn to you because they're like, you get it.
Yeah.
What do you feel like, you know, what qualities about yourself do you feel like embrace that entrepreneur side?
I mean, again, problem solving, we've said before, but also I will say, like, I think I'm easy to talk to in the sense that, like, I can be professional, but I've never been like so professional in a corporate way that it's always like on a level set. Mm-hmm. You know, like I respect hierarchy, but I don't necessarily adhere to it. Mm. You know what I mean? Like if I'm talking to someone like above me or like someone that's really important, obviously I'll have respect for them, mm-hmm. but I also won't treat them differently than I would someone else. And I think some people like that.
Love.
You know, because mm-hmm. it's like you're relating to them, you're still being a normal person. Like when you act to like, oh yes, of course, or like you're a yes man to people, I think that's the thing that I would say is like a quality of mine that I have been told is that I'm not a yes man. Mm. Like if I don't agree with something, even if it is the boss of the boss, I'll say something.
Mm.
And a lot of people really value that.
There it is.
Because they want like real opinions and they don't want people to just be like, oh yes, that's a great idea, sir.
Totally.
And if I don't think it's a great idea, I'm not going to be rude and be like, you're stupid, like, that's dumb. But I'll be like, well, I think that
I'd go about it this way.
This way. And you don't have to agree with it at all. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people appreciate you speaking your mind in a respectful way, obviously. But just like being like that with whoever it is, like whether mm-hmm. it's your friends or your bosses or the people you work with. As long as it's like to everyone's gain, like you're not obviously doing it for your own gain, but I think that's definitely like a big thing for me.
If there was someone who, you know, is just graduated and they were like, oh my gosh, I would love to have a job like Ella had, either at 368 or working with a big creator, etc., what advice would you give them?
My advice, I mean, this is maybe like not right out of college, but I really stand by this, is just like be really friendly and nice to everyone, because like I maybe this actually can relate to it, because I found myself that, you know, you're talking to, I don't know, the editor, or you're talking to the boss, or you're talking to like whatever level it is, people remember that.
Totally.
And unfortunately, a lot of this world is like connections mm-hmm. and just like who you know and whatnot. Like obviously you can apply to a job online and you'll get it, but a lot of it is through like personal connections. So the more of those you have, the further you'll go. So like in college, you know, like I made friends with like every single person at my internship mm-hmm. and all those people went to different companies. And then, you know, if you like see someone at that company, like, oh, well, I know that person mm-hmm. there. I can email them, I can text them, or whatever it is, and that gets you a foot in the door, and it kind of helps you do that. So, like, definitely, like, making sure that you're, like, keeping connections, keeping close mm-hmm. to people, like, being a nice person, obviously. But then also just the scrappy part, you know?
Yeah, being ready to do the dirty work.
Being ready to do the dirty work. It sucks, for sure, don't get me wrong. Like, the junior part of your career, like, you're definitely doing some work that you probably don't want to do, but at the end of the day, it always ends up being worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think, like, scrappy, but also skills. So, like, developing random skills is so helpful.
Wow, that's great. Okay, what are your random skills?
So, like, I mean, my random skills that I, like, have just learned over the course of the years is, like, I don't know, I started making Instagram filters. Did that
do the vibe check?
Yeah, vibe check. That's my filter. If you use vibe check, it says pass or not pass. I made that. And I just like got interested in it. We had done like a workshop at 368, I think. And
that's so funny.
Like to this date, it hasn't done anything like in my work career. But one, it's something that I've talked about multiple times in interviews or with people because it's just interesting. And it shows that you're like trying to learn new things, trying to do different stuff. You know what I mean?
That like, is such a random skill.
So random.
It's like a good one to
it's
have.
It's like, why did I make Instagram filters? But by making Instagram filters, I learned how to use Blender, which is like a 3D modeling software, and I learned how to use Spark. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, it wasn't part of my major, but I took a bunch of like Photoshop and like Final Cut.
Like Adobe stuff.
Adobe mm-hmm. stuff classes because I wanted to learn that. So like by no means am I a pro at it, but I have the basics of it that if, say, someone like a David would have been like, hey, can you edit this for me? I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can do the basic of it because I know it. And like you can obviously like teach yourself those things, but having skills like that can help you in your career is super helpful.
I could not agree more.
So like I know I'm in the digital space. For me, knowing how to edit is probably going to be valuable eventually.
Absolutely.
You know? Mm-hmm. Or it's like, I don't know.
Even if that means you just need to teach someone how to edit.
Totally. Just whatever it is. Or you can be like, oh, just do that. Mm-hmm. And like it will help you so much in having these like random things. And it's just like a good thing to talk about. Like I remember I had an interview for a job like when I was still in New York, and I had an Instagram page with a friend of mine that we would do like, we'd basically like review restaurants and bars and tell you what to wear to them.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was a great idea.
Yeah, I love it.
And I had made a website for it. And during the interview, I guess they had looked me up and he asked me about it. He was like, oh, so like, tell me about this like New York The Look thing that you have. And so I did. And I had no idea that they would ever ask me about this random thing that I was doing with my friend kind of for fun. And I was telling them, and I had made on the website this map that like had all the places that we had picked, and it looked really cute. And he was really intrigued by the fact that I had made that website. And I made it on Wix, but still, you like need to know the basis of like how to do something like that. And they were like really intrigued by it and loved it.
Well, I think it also shows that you're self-sufficient, and if you have an idea, you'll just figure it out, which shows so many things like in an employee that I would want. So many, I guess, assets and skills just in itself. Like, oh, like you just had this idea and you figured it out.
Exactly.
Like, that just says a lot without saying a lot.
Yeah, so, totally.
What skills do you think people should definitely know if they want to get into this space?
Into this space? I mean, honestly, like all the editing softwares are like really good to know. You know, Premiere, Final Cut, Photoshop, Illustrator, Adobe, all of them. It's like just to know the basis.
And to speak the language. To be able to like talk.
So you know what someone's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you know, even learning Illustrator or Photoshop, like simple things like, oh, you want to put like the text on this and stuff. And nowadays, I will say there's so many like apps and stuff that make it so easy, like Canva and like CapCut and whatnot. But having that like slightly more pro knowledge will definitely be helpful. I think that, I think organization, like just like, you know, making sure that you are using like a Google Drive or you're using a Dropbox and like really keeping everything that you have organized. And I will say I'm not very good at this. My fault. If you see my computer, I always have like 25 tabs open at once.
Me.
But that's how my brain works personally, because if I close a tab, I'll forget about that thing. Mm-hmm. So I keep it open, even if I won't open it for 2 weeks. But yeah, definitely like keeping your stuff very organized, you know, knowing the skills of all the softwares. Oh, I mean, I guess this goes into like organizational skills, but like keep all your contacts, like not like phone contacts, like keep a Excel spreadsheet of everyone that you ever meet.
This is
that
such a
does something. You know what I mean? Like if I'll meet someone who's like redoing a wall, you will never know when you're going to need that person
again.
Exactly
right.
And you'll forget it. You'll be like, oh, who was that guy that like once did that wall for me or whatever it is? And so now whenever, anytime I work with someone in like any space, I like write down their email and like what their company is or what it is and like have it there. So then even if someone else asks me, like you ask me like, oh, like I need someone to like redo my podcast studio or something. I'm like, I got someone.
Here
you go.
Yeah. That is something I learned from Alicia with working with her is – it's insane the amount of people, which this all goes back to like being nice to everyone, keeping your connections from college, et cetera. Because the time she would be like, okay, like dead ass for Pretty Basic is when I produced Pretty Basic. She was like, okay, we want to build a set. Like TK, what do we do? And then I was like, okay, I got to find a set designer, blah, blah, blah. I found the set designer, I think through Joe Vulpes maybe, because I was asking around who did like Views and Impulsive and everyone. And did you find Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. I threw
dude,
someone.
Mike has done everyone's. I'm like, I need a
because
fucking commission. I've given him so much work.
And who gave me that contact? I want to say it was Joe Vulpes.
Probably, yeah.
But
I think Mike helped them with theirs too. He helped with a lot of people's. He's great.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
So then I found Mike. And now when people ask me for podcasts, I'm like, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how, like, you want people to do it to you.
Yes.
Like, you want someone to be like, oh.
You need her.
This, you need her.
Yes.
And that's literally how, I think, since I lived in New York, has how all my job stuff happened.
100%. But it's so true, because the amount of, like, random things she would need, or even now that I need, that I can't even put a finger on what it would be, but it would be the most random, like, oh, we need a jet ski guy for like this time of the day tomorrow. Like, who do you know? I have someone.
You got someone.
You figure it out.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's so true. We've both been there and working with Mike.
And like, you become like the go-to person for stuff like that. Like, I'll even get texts, like random stuff that I don't have contacts for, but they just assume that I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, do you have a contact to like this plane? I'm like, no, but I can actually probably find it for
figure
you.
Figure it out.
But no, I don't. But there's so many ways that I probably will be. Oh yeah, I got a person for
you. Yes. All the time now. People are like, oh, do you know someone I could hire as an assistant? I'm like,
I know. That is the one that I get the most, and I honestly don't have that. Because all my friends basically already have jobs.
I feel like I used to be that girl because I had so many friends that were like looking, but now they all have jobs. So now I'm like,
we're at the older stage where like, I think when we were younger, everyone was trying to do that. And now most of them are more settled.
Totally. Okay. So you moved to LA.
Yes.
Let's go back to the life path. You moved to LA and you're working for David.
Yes.
What did that entail?
I mean, honestly, it was so crazy because when I moved, it was pandemic. So David wasn't filming vlogs. So the days were way different than I think they were before.
And Snap wasn't a thing yet either.
No. So basically, we were just like our main things were the podcast. We already had started working on Dobrik's then.
Okay.
So like even though it was like 2 years ago or whatever, 3 years ago. So like pizza tastings, like stuff like that. Yeah. And so we were doing a bunch of stuff, but he wasn't filming the vlog. So what I thought was going to be like the most chaotic time was like actually pretty chill because he wasn't filming. But we were still doing a lot of like he was like doing TikToks and Instagrams and stuff like that. They were going to start a company at when I had moved. They then decided not to, which was like the big thing for me because I was like, oh, I thought I moved for this reason. And then literally the day I got there, they had this big meeting and decided not to do the company they were going to do. It was kind of going to be an agency. And I was like, oh, so like, what am I going to do? Like, what's my role now? we just figured it out. I just like helped out with a bunch of stuff. Then the podcast became like my main thing.
Wait, I just have to ask, when that happened, how did you feel?
Oh, I was so scared. I like called my dad and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't think that they're like doing, I don't know what I'm like brought here to do.
So you're scared more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was like, I knew that I would figure something out, but I was just scared that I had literally just moved my whole life.
Like, I mean,
it wasn't like I had come here for 2 weeks and been like, oh, like I can go back. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
I was like living in Scott and Jack's like guest house for the first month. Yeah. It was crazy. Cause I was also like, when I moved, I was like, I don't have an apartment.
Were you frustrated?
Honestly, no. For some reason, because I came here already with such an open mind of like
that's
what
great.
I was going to do. And like I knew it was going to be something like crazy anyway. Like, it wasn't going to be a normal job. So I was ready for anything, really. I was just more like scared and confused of like, oh, fuck, like, what have I done? Like, should I have done this?
Did I make the right decision?
Yeah. But then again, it worked out so well and it was super chill. But the podcast became like my main thing.
And what'd you do with the pod?
Well, at the beginning when we were during COVID, we were just audio. So I just produced it. Like
I wish I knew you then.
I know.
Because we could have like come up with so
literally
many ideas together.
And yeah, it was just like, you know, we would film it. I'd listen to it. We'd help. Joe was editing. So we'd like listen to the cuts and go back and forth. And then once David got his new house, which I was like also part of that, kind of ordeal of him getting the house, and we decided to like build the studio. That like took me a couple months, and that was like the main project that
I had. The set is so epic.
It was sick. It's really cool. I love it. Sad that it doesn't get any use anymore, but no, it was really cool. So yeah, it was kind of like that stuff. I helped Natalie a lot with like her, like, you know, she does a lot of his brand deals and all his management. He had a different manager at the time too. So it was weird because like we all worked so in tandem with each other that there were no clear roles, which can be bad, but also can be good if you're just like open to doing anything. Like, sure, if it was, someone needed to go pick up something at the store, like, no, probably that wasn't my job, but like, I'll do it because like, you know, we're all doing each other's job. Yeah. We're all doing everything.
Trying to get through the day.
Exactly. So that was kind of it. But we did a lot of really cool stuff when I was there. And then he started Dispo while I was there. And like that. So after the podcast, like after doing the studio, that kind of became I was doing like a bit of Dispo stuff, a bit of David stuff. Like I was like kind of back and forth with doing those things. And then eventually I went full time at Dispo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then is Dispo still alive?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't really know.
I remember when that came out, I was like, this is genius.
It was amazing. Like, the concept was so good. The app itself at the beginning was amazing. Like, I had a lot of faith in it. And, yeah, and same thing there. Like, I was employee number 3 or 4.
Oh, my gosh, you have so much on your resume.
I know. It's crazy. And so I was, like, doing that with David. But then at that time, like, there wasn't much to do at David's. So they were too, like, I think you should, like, go full-time at Dispo and, like, help us, like, with that. Because, like, I knew what his vision was and, you know, I still, like, saw them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I worked at Dispo for almost a year, a little under
From
a
home?
Year. No, we got an office.
Oh, no way. Where's the office?
I don't know if it's still there. It was in Santa Monica.
No way.
Which was really far. But yeah, I would. We were never full time in office. We'd do like 3 days on, 3 days off, or something. But yeah, I worked there for a while, and it definitely like it, the trajectory of it changed a bit. And it was great though, because it was basically like another tech startup. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting to like see the works, and like we raised a bunch of money, and like we were doing really cool stuff. Like the people that worked there were so talented. Mm-hmm. Like we had the best engineers, the best designers, like everything. So that was really fun. And it was like a very different experience that I didn't think I was going to have while being in LA.
Yeah, that's so crazy. I remember getting...
Beta?
Yes. Yeah, I remember getting the beta. Yeah. And I was like, this is so cool. And yeah. I remember getting the beta for when it was trying to be almost like its own social media.
Yeah. So because it started with just like it being the camera.
Yeah.
And then we developed profiles, and then there was like kind of a feed, but it was still very much supposed to be like live in the moment. Like you're not supposed to spend a lot of time on it. You know, the concept was you took a picture and you couldn't see it till the next day, like a disposable.
Mm-hmm. And then how did you get to Allo?
So I left Dispo in like September, October of 2021.
Just because you wanted something different?
Yeah, and like they were doing different stuff, and it kind of just like, yeah, I had a lot of stuff going on then, so I stopped working at Dispo, and then I freelanced for a couple months, for like a month or two, and then I got a call from my good friend Casey Neistat.
Shut up.
Yeah. And he was like, a friend of mine is working at Allo doing experiential marketing, and she's looking for someone to join her team. I think you'd be great. Like, do you want to talk to her? And I was like, oh, shit, like, sure. And I will say at the time, like, I wasn't trying to go to a full-time job. Like, I was really trying to, like, be freelance and, like, do my own thing. But, yeah, so then I met them. Like, I got connected through Casey, basically, and went in for an interview.
Word of mouth, baby.
Word of mouth. Went in for an interview. Got along really well with my boss. And kind of I started, like, the month after.
No way. Yeah. And were you on the marketing team? Or?
Yeah, I was on the marketing team. I was on the experiential team. So we did all the events, which is like the only... Like
the Allo House.
Yes. Okay. So we did all the Allo Houses, all like events in the different... We had did like New York and LA. Sick. And like all of our different spaces. And I always said that if I was like... When I had the conversation at Allo, I was like, this is the only team that I would join if I were to go back into corporate, because it's still very much like... Not scrappy, but, like, I know how to do events. I love doing events. It's, like, you're traveling a lot. You're, like...
It's last minute.
You're not in the office that much because you're, like, you know, on site. You're getting stuff. You're doing all that stuff.
It's, like,
which
the least corporate-y.
Exactly. So that's why I was, like, okay, this is actually kind of perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's a great company. Like, they're doing so well. I did go into an office every day, which was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an amazing office. But, yeah, so I worked there for, like, a year. And I just quit.
Okay. Congrats.
Thank you.
You're solo dolo now.
Solo dolo. So I quit in like February, like beginning of February, and again took another risk. I had decided, because I had started doing some side gigs, and like I've always done side gigs. I've always done like things on the side, and they started to become more real. And I was like, look, if there's no time like right now, like if I don't do this now, I'm never gonna do it. You know. And I had gotten my experience from Allo. I learned so much there. Like, I met a lot of people through it, loved all the people that I worked with. So
how
I was
long
like,
were you there?
A year.
Okay.
Like, literally on the dot. I, like, quit, like, 2 weeks after my 1 year.
No way.
Yeah. That's why I made a TikTok recently that I was like, I've actually never had a job for longer than... The longest one was actually 368. But it also, like, didn't feel like one job because it felt like so many.
Yeah.
Like, since I graduated college, I've had 6 jobs.
That is insane.
And most of my friends from college are still at the same job that they've had since we graduated college.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, good for you.
No, it's great. And I always say, like, you know, if you want to leave somewhere, leave. Like,
experience.
Don't stay just because, like, you're scared or you think that it's not going to get better. Or, you know, I get it. A lot of people, like, you want the promotion, you want the title and this and that. But also, if you move a lot of different places, you get those things.
What do you feel like is the best way to leave a company that you want to move away from?
I mean, always leave on good terms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, like, you don't want to create any drama or anything. But, I mean, again, I think that is really scary. Like, people think, like, oh, they're going to hate me if I leave and whatnot. But at the end of the day, like, you always have to remember that the people are not the company. You know what I mean? Like, we're all just people, like, working for somewhere. Like, if you go and you, like, what I said when I quit was, like, look, I want to do something that's, like, good for me. Like, this is, like, my new step in the new direction. Or, like, I've gotten everything out of this job that I can. Like, I'd love to work with you again in the future. Like, kind of stuff like that. I think it's always good. Like, keeping a really good relationship. Like, having no hatred towards the people, no, like, you know, bad blood or ill will, is always good for sure. But yeah, I left in beginning of February, and same thing there. Like, a lot of stuff had also changed within the company, so there was less for me to do regardless. So I was like, I think this is a perfect time for me to leave, because, like, I'm not going to be, like, fucking over someone by being like, oh, like, we were supposed to do this event, now you're not going to be here kind of thing. Like, it was, like, kind of a lull moment. So it worked out. And I've, you know, still to this day, like, I'm, you know, friends with a lot of people that are there. And I've told them when I left, I was like, if you ever do need to hire someone freelance or, like, for a project, like, I'm totally down. Obviously, I know the ins and outs so well that it works
well.
You'd
be perfect for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then so since then, I've been solo for now, like, almost 3 months.
Freelance. Producing.
So like the main things that I am focusing on is I have an agency.
Okay.
And we started this kind of, I work with like a friend of mine and a couple other people, but we started it last year because basically like I've been in the industry for a long time. My friend has too. I've done like influencer marketing. I've been on the client side. So I know both things. And it started by just helping out some of our influencer friends, like more micro people with just like contracts and stuff. Because truly, if you don't know, like you can really get fucked over.
Oh, 100%.
Or like taken advantage of. And I hate seeing that when people do that. So we started by just like helping a couple of our friends, you know, with their brand deals. And we'd like just like email them to us and like we'll read the contract. We can redline them. We can like negotiate your fee and whatnot. And so we started by doing that, and it kind of like built up, and then we kind of built a roster of people that we work with.
Get out.
Yeah. And
some do you take a percentage?
Yeah. And so now like the way that we do it too is, you know, some of our talent will send them their inbound, but we also pitch them out.
Wow.
So I have a lot of people on our roster that we don't necessarily work with exclusively, but if we can get them a deal through our pitching, then we'll take a percentage of it. But it's also not a high percentage compared to other management companies. So we kind of started doing that, and it became like more and more of a thing. And we obviously like have a lot of brand contacts, and like we're pitching out people and helping whatnot. And so now we have a roster of almost 25 people.
That is insane, Ella.
Yeah. So I do influencer management for the people that we are on our roster, and we like talk to brands and pitch out a lot. And then the agency also, we do like brand partnerships. So we've helped a couple of brands with, like, say, events or whatnot, like, finding other partners for them. And same thing, working on, like, a commission-based. And then also events. So, like, keeping all the things that I do into one. So it's, like, the management.
So it's like your own thing.
The management side, the brand side, and then the event side.
Do you have a name for the agency?
It's Shala NYC.
What is it?
Shalla. Shala.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
Shala is, like, it's an Italian slang word that, like, I've used my whole life. Shala is, like, chill. It's, like, Shala, it's fine.
Shala.
Inshallah.
It's fine.
And I honestly, like, it's funny because I created this company. Like, I've had the LLC for a long time
because
it's also, like, through what I have my visa. But now it's developed into such a different thing that I had originally set out for it to be. But, yeah, so then that's our main thing. And it honestly takes up a lot of time.
Wait, Ella, this is so cool. I know. I'm so excited for you.
I was like, I didn't know if you knew that I did this or not, but it's a great way to tell you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your full-time thing now.
That's the full-time thing mostly, yeah. And then I work on this brand called I Like You with my friend Isaac.
Okay, and I know this.
Yes, and so Isaac and I have been friends for a couple of years now. And I started helping him out like a couple of years ago. But then when the pandemic was kind of over, we started throwing parties. And like, obviously, partying is my favorite thing to do. And I love it. And Isaac's a really good DJ. So we started throwing these parties, and we started in New York. And he had kind of blown up on TikTok during that time, too. So we did our first party in New York, and he had posted about it on TikTok. And we had like over 1,000 people show up.
No way.
For like a 400-person venue. And it was crazy.
I feel like I always see the ones here. They go crazy.
No, and it's so fun. And, like, our concept around it is very much, like, everyone's welcome. It's not, like, this super exclusive thing. And everyone dances. Like, it's the best music ever. We always have different hosts, different
DJs. Don't you DJ?
Yeah, I've started to.
Which I could so see it. I love this so much.
I know. But so, yeah, so I've been working with Isaac and I Like You for, like, a while now. And that's definitely, like, one of the other things that we do. Because we have, like, merch. We have, like, you know, little stickers. And we've made T-shirts, hats. We'll do the parties. We've worked with other brands, too. Like, we'll have, like, sponsors, like, for our parties. We did a party with, like, Locks Club.
Love.
And
love
it was so Locks fun. Club. And, like, it's great for them. So that's something that we're trying to build a lot, too, which again, when I was doing it, when I still had a full-time job, I couldn't dedicate that much time to it. And now that I am, I really see that we're, like, getting somewhere, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm also able to, like, travel. Like, I was just in Miami because we had a party in Miami.
So sick.
And before, I would never be able to do that when I had a full-time job because mm-hmm. it's, like, I can't, like, on a whim be, like, oh, I got to go to New York. I got to go to Miami for the party.
Yeah.
Especially because it's like, oh, we normally do them on weeknights. Like, that was how we started. We've started to do more weekend ones now, too. But it was so hard for me to, like, ever make it to them. Like, I'd work on them on the back end, but then I couldn't go.
Yeah.
Because I'd be working.
That's crazy.
But now I can.
And now I think the biggest thing for me, at least, being, like, full-time on my own, is I have, like, time to think about what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know Literally. What I mean? I didn't realize how much of my brain space, which it's like, no shit.
Yeah.
But how much of my brain space was being taken, obviously, by your full time thing.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, wow, I'm so creative with my own stuff. And totally. I have the time to, like, think about it and execute it.
Totally. But it's also because, like, for me, when I had a full time job and I was in an office, like, in my head, I'd be like, okay, after work, I'll, like, look at this thing and do that. But mm-hmm. then I'd get home and be like, I'm so tired.
You're,
like,
always side tabling.
I don't want to do that. I want to watch TV now or something. Because it's like your brain power is gone from the whole day that, like, you can't focus on the other stuff.
Totally.
And, like, you know, if you have ADD or, like, stuff, it's so hard to concentrate yeah. on things. But yeah, no. So that stuff's really fun. And then since doing the parties and, like, working with Isaac, I also, like, started to learn how to DJ because I always kind of wanted to.
I love this so much. And I want to come to one of the parties.
You haven't been to one yet?
I don't think I have.
What?
I know. I
Were you not here for the last one?
Oh, the pre-Coachella one. Yeah, I was. I think. Oh, then I had strep throat.
Oh, okay. That's a fine excuse. If not, I would not forgive you.
Didn't you do a collab with, I think, Connor once? Connor Wood. Well,
Connor was a host for us last year. Yeah.
I couldn't go to. I remember. I need to go.
Yeah, you have to come.
I feel like every time I'm, like, out of town or something, yeah. whatever.
No, they're so fun.
But I want to because I want to watch you DJ.
I know. Well, I'll DJ other stuff too. But yeah, I literally start. Well, because actually I started to learn how to DJ those 2 months in between me starting at Aloe and, like, quitting Dispo. And then I started full-time job, so I completely stopped it. Uh-huh. But I had, like, downloaded the software.
Do you
and I
have, like,
stuff.
The I bought turntables one. And
yeah, now I do.
Wait, I want to come play.
I know. And so but then I, like, kind of got back into it because I was like, I really want to learn. Like, I want to do this. It's so fun. And I kind of bamboozled my way into, like, my first gig. And then after that, I was like, okay, I really got to get serious about this now.
But this is,
like,
amazing.
I have to, if I'm getting booked for stuff or, like, people are asking me to DJ, like, their birthday parties, like, I got to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely
still not.
You should
DJ one of David's parties.
I know. Yeah. I haven't yet. No, I haven't done David's yet.
You totally should.
But I'm definitely not, like, a pro yet by any means. But I always say, like, 90% of DJing is just, like, picking the right music and knowing how to read a crowd.
Yeah. Reading the vibe.
So, like, sure, my transitions, definitely not 10 out of 10. But the two songs that you're listening to, one before and one after, are great songs, and you're going to dance and you're going to have fun.
Is it a lot harder than people think, or is it, like, anyone
well,
can
no,
do it?
It's easy to do the basics.
Yeah.
It's hard to become really good.
Okay.
Like, when you go, it's also, like, I realize now when I go to parties, I listen so much more to, like, what the DJ's doing.
Really?
But for a lot of times when you're at a party, like, you're not listening to the transition. You're uh-huh. not listening to, like, what's when the song's changing. You're just like, oh, I love this song. And then, oh, I love this song. Or,
yeah.
like, oh, I don't like this song. That's all you're really listening to. But you notice when you're listening to a bad DJ and when you're listening to a good one. Because, like, it basically sounds like, you know, you're going to Spotify
yeah.
next. Or, like, there's, like, the beat is completely
like the cadence
different.
Is off.
Or, like, yeah, stuff like that. But, like, Isaac and a lot of the people that we work with for our parties, because we always have different DJs, are, like, really good DJs, mm-hmm. which is also why I always get very nervous DJing our parties.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, I DJed the last one here in LA, and I opened because I was like, I'll do the first shift yeah. kind of thing, because also, like, they're way bigger than me. And it was great. Like, people were dancing, having yeah. a great time. But then as soon as I think Madison played after me, and he's like Amine's DJ, like tour DJ. So he's
oh,
like
wow.
really good. And I was like, you can really hear the difference of what's going on from when I was playing
it's
to
okay,
when
no one
Madison
else
is playing.
They're like three drinks in.
Yeah, but it's also just like fun. I love going to parties. I love music. Like mm-hmm. I love dancing. And I love making people dance because I don't know if you know this too, but like in LA, 90% of the parties are not fun.
No, they aren't.
Like
they feel like events. They're
yeah.
so boring.
People don't dance. People don't actually have fun. They're on their phones. They're talking. They're sitting, whatever. And like when I go out and I'm like with my friends,
dancing.
I'm dancing. Even
yeah.
if there's no one else on the dance floor.
Yeah, same.
And so that's like what we like always strive to do is
Which
like
I
make
love.
People dance.
So how often do you guys have the parties?
We try to have we do them now a lot around like main events. So like we did a pre-Coachella one here in LA. We just did one in Miami for F1.
Sick.
We're doing one in New York this summer. I think the next one that I have booked for sure is in July in New York at a really cool like rooftop spot.
Mm-hmm.
But we do them like probably like every other month.
Okay. That's awesome.
And most of them, like our biggest like audience is in New York because obviously that's where we started and like mm-hmm. that's where Isaac's main thing is. But now we've done like three here in LA that have been huge and that like...
Yeah.
So many people have come to it and it's become like more of like they know about it. People know what I Like You is and whatnot. So, and then we've done a couple in Miami, but really trying to expand like where we do them, which is
good. How do you guys make money from them?
Well, you know, we're not making that much money, but we do have.
There's a lot of like collaboration.
Yeah. We'll depending on the venue, we'll sometimes make, you know, money off the bar tab or like how many, because that's why we also started them when we first started during the week, because it was easy to get venues to agree to like not doing a fee because it's like, well, look, we're about to bring you 400 people that you wouldn't have on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And then like once they hit their quota, then whatever they make on top of that, we make a percentage of kind of thing.
Okay. And what, then the merch maybe?
We have the merch, which is great. And we've started to make more and more of that, which is really fun. Like I have my cute and cunty t-shirt. I should have worn it today. That did really well. People love that one. And then... Yeah, and then partnership sponsors, you know.
Epic.
It's always great to work with brands on stuff like this, but obviously also want it to align with, like, our brand. Mm-hmm. Like, we wouldn't take something that, like, doesn't really make sense for us. But, I mean, again, it's one of those things where I'm putting so much work into it because I believe that it can be something so big.
Oh, totally.
So it's okay if we're not making, like, so much money off of it right now and it's not, like, this major thing. Mm-hmm. But I do think it will become it and it has the potential to be it. So the more you put in, the more work you put into it at the beginning, the better it will be at the end.
It's so, this concept is so fascinating to me. And I'm drawn to it, one, because I think the branding is really good. But two, I feel like when people graduate college, it's like this weird concept because everyone's moving to new cities.
Yeah.
It's hard to meet friends as an adult. And you're no longer in your frat or sorority or sports team, or you don't have your classmates or your dorm people. You know, like in college, it's like camp.
It's so easy.
Like, you have so many people in passing you see on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Whereas in real life, you don't. It's like I see you at Whole Foods, you're hot. Like my only time to ask for your number is like right now at Whole Foods, or else I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah,
right?
True.
So with this, it's so fascinating to me because it's kind of like the adult version of joining like Greek life.
No, for sure.
But in like the best adult, more like less.
We also like love to promote
crazy
like
wet
people like meeting at an I Like You party, making out at an I Like You party. Like it's the perfect place.
No, totally.
Yeah.
And
no.
It's fun to, I don't know, you know, there's going to be like other fun, like-minded people.
It's
there.
Honestly an easy way now too, because like our stickers and like pop sockets and like tote bags, like if you go to New York, you will see them. Like, the stickers are everywhere.
That's
but it's
epic.
Also one of those things that, like, if you see someone with, like, an I Like You sticker on their phone, you're like, oh, like, I know that. Or, like, have you been to a party? And it's, like, you start a conversation with that.
So true. You guys should do, like, a Halloween people together. One or something.
We did a Halloween one in New York last year that was fun. I wasn't there for that one, actually. But that was really big as a, like, PhD, I think. Yeah.
Wow. But it was so fun. I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to go to the next one.
I know, hopefully. you have to.
LA.
It'll be really fun.
Okay, amazing. Okay, I want to talk about now you're like jet setting to the Bahamas. What the heck is this?
Yeah.
I'm so living vicariously through all your stories.
Obviously, one of the amazing things of me now doing my own thing and being freelance is that I can kind of make my own schedule. Don't need to like ask anyone
here and there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm more free. I can work from wherever.
Yeah.
But no, it's been super fun. Our good friend Corinna goes like pretty often and she like streams out there. And so she had asked us to come, like me, the first trip we went on was me, Reggie, Taylor, and Jess.
Mm-hmm. Which is such a fun crew, by the way.
Oh, so fun. And Karina is just, like, the most generous and amazing person ever, and she had kind of invited us, because Reggie works for her, and she was like,
I literally want to be here.
I have space in, like, you know, the house. Like, do you guys want to come? And we're like, oh, my God, like, this seems crazy, but yeah. And literally when
how
it first happened,
no?
I was like, I can't say no to this. But in my head, I was like, oh, I'm stressed. Like, I have to leave. I have to do this. And I was like, no.
Like,
I can't say no to this.
Yeah.
It's an amazing opportunity. So, we kind of went. It was so fun. She has a really good group of friends. Because she works with Stake, which is like a gambling platform.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so most of the times you do it when you're like not in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And she also just loves travel. She's always gone.
Isn't the Bahamas like the best place ever?
No, it's like one of the most amazing like water and beaches I've ever seen.
Oh, it's bananas.
I don't know how more people haven't talked to me about it. Like, people always bring up like Hawaii and like Turks and Caicos and stuff. Bahamas, stunning.
So funny enough, my parents, you know how my mom's from Canada, my dad's from Indiana, they met at a blackjack table in the Bahamas.
No way.
Yeah.
Wait, that's really
crazy. So maybe
crazy.
Corinna will find her man's at a blackjack table.
Yeah, maybe.
In the Bahamas. Yeah.
No, that's crazy. I love that. That's a really cute story.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So ever since that happened, basically I grew up, we would always go to vacations there because
it's like
it's cute. Yeah. They're divorced now.
Okay, whatever.
But like, yeah,
at the time,
it's the coolest place.
So cool.
And so easy to get to. The people are so nice.
Truly stunning. And I think like, I guess from LA, it's not the closest, but like from the East Coast.
Oh yeah.
It's so like, it's a 1 hour flight from Florida.
I know. It's unreal.
And like, even from New York, it's not far at all. But yeah, so it's been so amazing to be able to do that. And like, you know, because I'm free, like, I'll work from there during the day. But then, like, you know, we're on the beach, we're chilling, we're cooking, we're doing, having fun, we're streaming. So it's been really crazy to do that. And I do feel like my life is pretty insane. It looks insane from, like, social media because it's like, this bitch is in the Bahamas other day.
That's
like, all my friends are like, what's going on? Like, is your residency in the Bahamas? Like, are you trying to do something weird here? What's sketchy? I'm like, no, I just genuinely have been able to travel and... I can't say no to that.
Yeah. Oh,
it's an amazing chance.
If Corinna asked me, I would be there in a second.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, because now I feel like it's like, oh, we're going to Erewhon. It's like, oh, we're going to the Bahamas. That's how like casual it is. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get gas. No, but like, I'm going to the Bahamas.
Yeah, now I'm going to the Bahamas.
It's a part of the routine.
It's part of the routine now. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Are you guys going to the Bahamas again soon? I know you just got back.
Not that I know of. Okay. Not yet. But mostly they also do happen very like, 3 days before.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But no, I do have a lot of travel coming up.
Really? Where are you going?
I'm going to New York in like 2 weeks because I have a bachelorette.
Fun.
The bachelorette's actually in like Rehoboth, but I'm going to New York for a couple of days before and then I'm driving up with all my friends. Then I come back here. I'm here for a couple of weeks and then I go to Italy. I go back to Rome because I have a wedding, but then I also have my high school reunion. Which I'm
what?
So
How
excited.
Many years?
10 years.
Okay, 27. Wow, that's a great age.
Yeah.
27's a great age.
Really?
I feel like that's like such a like
okay, I hope
fun
so.
Number.
I'm hoping that 27 will be a good year for me.
Oh, for sure. When's your birthday?
February. I just turned 27. February 28th.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You're going to have a great year.
I'm hoping so.
Okay, so I'm going to Italy in 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah. I'm going to Florence for a wedding.
Do
you have any like life hacks or like recommendations?
Oh my god, wait.
I'm so excited. It's my first time.
You've never been to Italy? You've never been to Florence? Italy
I've
in general?
I've never been to Italy.
Oh, bitch, you have to stay and go around.
Really?
There. Yeah, you can't just go to Italy and just go to Florence.
Okay. Where should I go?
Like, Florence is great, but it's also like small. Like, you don't need more than a couple of days there, anyways.
Okay.
And if you're there for a wedding, like, obviously you have stuff to do. But once you're there, like, you should go, like, you know, even explore more of Tuscany. Like, go to the beach in Tuscany. You can go to Naples. You can go down to Rome.
I'm going to Naples, too, I think.
Okay. You got to go to Rome.
Okay. Okay.
You cannot go to Rome.
I know. Okay.
Rome was the best.
Okay.
But it'll be fun. Yeah. And I'm so excited. And, like, my high school graduating class is super small.
That'll
be so
fun.
So we're doing,
fun.
Like, a dinner, but then we're going on, like, a one-night trip. Like, we got a really big villa that we're all going to stay
at. Wait, this is, like, the most fun high
I know.
School? How many people graduated?
Like, 60.
60?
It was a small, yeah, because it was like an international school.
Okay.
I was going to say,
you're really tight-knit with all of them.
Yeah, because our graduating class is like 60 people, but I think coming to the reunion is like 40-something.
Wait, that's so fun.
And like, I'm still friends with so many. Like, I talk to like a lot.
I wish you vlogged.
I know, I should.
And you like
just
vlogged
the experience.
Yeah, you should. Or on TikTok at least.
I know, I definitely need to make a TikTok
the house
something.
On boots.
Yeah. I definitely need to make something out of
you
it because I think it's going to be so fun. I want to make, you know those TikToks where it's like they show the high school,
yes!
yearbook picture and then them
you
now?
You need to.
I need to do that, obviously.
That is so fun.
Even though so many of my friends from high school like are so confused by what I do.
I feel like we all are.
Yeah.
But like it's okay.
But like in general, like
loop,
even this
little...
world though, like a lot of them are like, what the hell? It's like they don't get it.
Oh my gosh. Me trying to explain to my hometown friends what I do.
Yeah. They're like, what? I don't understand.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
They don't have to get it.
They don't have to get it. But no, it's super exciting. And I have a wedding.
Are you going to, you know, rekindle some, you know, high school love?
Honestly, probably. Like,
really?
I do. Honestly, like, I don't do well here in LA.
Neither do I. I don't need to Amazon Prime someone from somewhere else.
Same. Here. But anytime I leave,
I fall in love.
I've been here for I've been single for almost 4 years now, like 3.5 mm-hmm. years or something. And I haven't even had I've had maybe two flings, like real flings. Like, yeah. I hooked up with people like there and here and there, yeah. But like, LA sucks.
It does.
For dating, for men, for whatever.
Okay, I want to talk about this because I completely agree.
Yeah.
But when you're such a catch. Like, I'm like, anywhere else, you would be wiped up, I
think. Thank you for saying that. I'd mm-hmm. like to think so too, but clearly not here.
I have never met more hot, single, successful, bro, cool, same. Smart girls that are just the most single.
No.
And not because they necessarily want to be. It's just because there's no good options.
No good. Like, I truly am, like, shook when I go out with, like, even, like, my girlfriends. Like, they're all hot. Like, good-looking girls.
People ever.
Smart girls. It's not even, like, we don't even get approached.
It's weird.
Or if we do, it's like.
It's like.
No. But yeah, it's insane. And I always like try to like see the positive, not the positive, but, like try to like be optimistic. And
me
be, like,
too.
I also will say I blame our world for
it. I agree.
It. Like, we go to the same places a lot. We hang out with the same people a lot.
It's too much of a bubble.
It's too much of a bubble because like my favorite way to meet people is like friend of a friend or through uh-huh. someone. But I feel like I already know like the outskirts of our circle too well that there's no one that I'm like, eh. Mm-hmm. But I've told my friends and I've started to like try it. And do this, but like go to like completely different bars, completely different places, like
and get
go
out just bubble.
Like three yeah. of us,
yes,
like
and not just like the whole crew.
No, because when we go on like 10 people, like,
then you're only you stay with them,
yeah.
And it's hard to approach when you're with like 10 people,
exactly. But if it's like 2-3 of you and you yeah. like go to a different
honestly,
bar,
honestly, two girls, you and one other girl,
exactly.
That's the most approachable,
and then you can talk to people, meet new people, like because I love meeting new people, and I truly feel like it's so hard. When it's not like in this stupid
yeah.
bubble.
Maybe we need to go like to the west side and
I
we'll
know.
Just go to a
or
bar
the east side.
And...
I love the east side.
Okay. I'm a we downtown
go.
Girlie.
Okay,
so...
we're gonna do this.
Okay.
I actually do this. Will. Me and you. This is a good couple to do it with.
Yeah. Because I feel like we'll talk someone's
we'll
ear
talk
off.
To anyone. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
We'll be like, listen.
So it'll you've had like no luck with dating?
No.
Are you on the apps?
Yes. All of them. Well, okay. Actually, I will say, like, I've never been a fan of the apps. I'm on Hinge and Raya. I haven't opened Hinge in like months because I have never found anything from it. Raya, I mostly use for entertainment.
Me.
I've removed every single age restriction just so I can see whoever's on there.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
No, it's so fun. Because then at least you see everyone. And then I'll like people just to see if I match with them. And like even when I have matched, because I don't want to say this and like I'm treating it as a joke, but like even when I match with something, nothing happens. So it really doesn't matter.
You know what's crazy? Unpopular opinion. I've gone on more dates from Raya than I have Hinge.
Really?
Isn't that wild?
I've never gone on one. I've actually gone on one date from Ryan. It was absolutely terrible. Never again.
I mean, were they the best dates of my life? No, but yeah. I don't know.
But I will say, actually, it's now happened to me twice that I haven't done anything from Ryan, but like I bumped into a guy who recognized me because we had matched on Ryan and nothing had happened. But because of that connection, we talked in person.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, it did something.
You know what? I actually don't hate that.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, I remember it was this guy and we like bumped into each other. We both were like, why do I know you? And then we kind of walked away and then I like walked back and he was like, why do I? And I still hadn't figured it out. I think he had figured it out but made up something else. And was like, oh, are you friends with? And like said one of my okay. friends. And I was like, oh,
good
yeah.
Save.
Yeah. Yeah, good save. And then as I walked away, I was like, nope, Raya. I know him from Raya. And then another time I was outside a club. Honestly, I feel bad for this guy. I'm outside, like, the bar or whatever, and this guy comes up to me and he goes, Raya. And I go, Ella? Like, he gave me no context. He just goes, Raya.
Because it sounds like a name.
I was like, Ella. He goes, no, like, Raya.
No, but
and
like,
I was
Raya.
Like, no, but like, what are you saying? Like, my name is Ella. Are you good?
I'm
and he was
dead.
Like, oh, no, like, I know you from Raya. And I was like, oh. Well, and I made fun of him. I was like, that's a really weird way to approach someone, my dude. Like,
yeah.
Like, at least say, hey, how's
I
it going?
I start going up to random
oh,
guys in the bar.
You.
I'm like, Hinge?
Hinge? Tinder? Raya?
Bumble?
Like, come on. You gotta give me something before you
That's
say that.
That's hilarious.
Which was really funny. But yeah, so I guess it does that. like it puts you on the map maybe for people to see you, but otherwise, no, it sucks. And I'm a very big person of like meeting in person because I also don't think I have a type. I think I go completely based off like vibes and personality, which is also why I don't like the apps.
What are you looking for?
Now, love.
Okay, so you want a boyfriend.
Yeah, now I do.
I want a boyfriend right now.
I've been single for like enough time now and I've had so much fun. I love being single. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love my being independent.
Same.
I love doing whatever the fuck I want. Like, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with wanting like companionship and a partnership.
But I think now I'm just like, I'd love someone to like share something with and like hang out with and like go do the things that I like to do with and, you know.
Okay, we deadass need to go to a bar by ourselves. I know.
We should go to like a really nice hotel bar or something. But then again, then you'll meet people that are visiting and that's probably what we'll find them because we like people that aren't from here.
I'll get on a flight.
I know, let's go. Well, that's the thing though. Like, even when I go to New York, like people say New York is hard too, which it is. But I think New York is way better than LA because it's so much easier to meet people because it's also just like the walking, the bar. It's like, I don't know. It's just better. But like, when I go to New York, I meet more guys than I do here.
Oh, it's crazy. And anytime I go anywhere, I like suddenly have a boyfriend.
No, literally, I do. Since I last went to New York, I was like, oh, I basically have a boyfriend.
And then I'm like, maybe I am cute.
No,
I come back to LA and I'm like,
someone does want to hang out with me.
It's for a real thing.
No, that's why when you, like, the initial question started because you were like, oh, when you go back home. Because when I go back to Rome, I'm like, okay, I could kind of pull here.
Oh.
I could pull in New York. I could pull here. Just in LA, no.
Anywhere else, I'm like 11 out of 10.
I know.
In LA,
but this is the thing.
I feel like it's 2 out of 10.
But it's not. Like, when people are like, oh, they're, you know, like a LA 6 and then Kentucky 10 or whatever the cities are. It's like, no, no, no. We're talking about like LA 10s. Like, you're an LA 10, but when you go to somewhere else, I don't, the 10 just like means more there, I think. Maybe that's what it is. There's too many 10s here. Of girls, not guys.
Yeah, there's too many hot girls. I think also another red flag, I guess, about LA is I know I have a lot of guy friends and they're great, but I'm like, where are your guy friends you would set me up with? I'm like, where are they?
Yeah.
And they're always like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so, I don't know why it's so hard.
I've been trying to rack my brain for it. I'm telling you.
Okay. So you dabble in the apps, but nothing crazy has happened.
Yeah, nothing crazy in the apps. I definitely love meeting people in person. Like,
we need to go to the JW by Staples Center or by Crypto. That's where all the players stay.
Oh, well, you know I love an athlete.
Me too.
I love an athlete, too. We have different sports, though, which is great.
Yeah. Wait, what are you? What kind of sport
do
you
like? I like basketball, soccer, tennis, like stuff like
that. Yeah, I like football.
You like football.
Basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This is good.
Love it. You're just trying to be wags.
Yeah. You cannot tell me we wouldn't look cute on the sidelines.
Yeah, come on.
Come
Great legs.
Okay, I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I think that would be fairly
fun. So
you
might rekindle something in Italy.
No, I probably won't rekindle. I mean, I don't know. I always like kind of make a mess when I go home in a good way. I'm always like, because I'm like, oh, I'm here for 2 weeks.
To leave your mark.
And I'm like, peace out. This is your problem now kind of thing. But no, I haven't had a Rome flame in a while. Mm-hmm. But I also just like, I have all my like old friends that I just want to see. But I am excited because the wedding that I'm going to, I will say I was slightly offended by this when she initially told me, but now I'm like excited. She got engaged like 2 years ago, whatever, started organizing their wedding. And she told me, she goes, I really hope you're single for my wedding because it's going to be so fun for single people. And I was like, well, that's not like, I don't really want that for me because this was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, so you're wishing singleness upon me so that I'll have fun at your wedding?
Yeah.
I was like, don't you want me to bring a date?
You're like, what?
So maybe that's why I was cursed by that. She's just been wishing that upon
me. Maybe you
need
to get through the wedding. Yeah.
But I am excited for the wedding because I also think weddings are great places.
I met a man at a wedding.
Really? That's good.
It was an international wedding.
Oh, so you have a boyfriend?
No. No.
Okay, no, I get it.
But weddings.
Weddings, depending
love's
on...
love's in the air.
And it's like, it's a great place where people are connected. Like this wedding,
right?
I'll know a lot of people there, but... I don't know their groom's side at all.
Uh-huh.
So like those will be completely new people.
The groom's side.
Yeah. But like it's in Italy, so like I also will have like a lot of my like friends from there.
Okay, I need immediate play by play updates when you're there.
I also will say that my ex boyfriend will be there.
Okay, but that's like adds
but
to the
fun. But we're also really close friends now.
Okay.
So it's
you
fine.
Wouldn't rekindle that?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Wait, I'm so excited.
Yeah, no.
Okay, maybe the Italy weddings are like good news for us.
I know. I think this could be fun.
Okay.
I mean, I also, I don't know about you, but I have like 5 weddings coming up.
I think I have 7 weddings this year. 6 or 7.
It's insane.
Well, I'm manifesting this Italy wedding.
Yeah. For you too.
Thank you.
I think it's going to be a good summer for us.
I think it is. It's going to be wife up girl summer.
Wife up girl wifey summer. Girl summer. We're here for it.
I'm excited. Well, this podcast is called Making Moves. Yes. So I guess I want to know, what are you doing to make moves in your life currently, Ella?
I am making so many moves in the hopes that like a lot of the moves will stick, I think, is what is right now. Like, I think I don't think I'm spreading myself too thin yet, which is good, and I want to like keep it that way. But I'm making so many moves in different directions that could have very different outcomes because I'm interested in all of them. But I think that because I don't know what I want, my like I don't have a 5-year plan by any means. But I think by doing all these different things, I'm getting closer to figuring out what I want to do in life, like in the long term. So, like, you know, whether it's my agency, whether it's DJing, whether it's, you know, creating content or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make as many moves as I can. Also to keep myself busy and, like, concentrated and, you know, creative to do the best that I can do. And, like, really, I don't know why I just randomly lost my voice. I was like, I had a voice 5 minutes ago.
The power went out of my voice.
Just to, like, really because... My one goal, I will say, in my making my moves, is to be my own boss. Like,
okay,
my goal
which
is
you are.
My it is right now, yes. But my goal is like hopefully never go back to corporate.
Is there out of all of those things that you have your hand in, or I guess feet in right now, what is priority for you right now?
Right now, it's the agency and my persona, I'd say, like building my
personal brand.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Building my personal brand. So that, you know, falls into the DJing stuff. It falls into the content stuff. Like I do some influencer stuff myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like I manage myself. I'm on my own roster. and so like doing that kind of stuff to really like build myself up. Like I've never had a what is the word? Why can't I speak English now? Like when you look up to someone?
A mentor?
Yes, but also...
Inspiration?
Inspiration, yeah. Like I've never really had a mentor or like been so inspired by someone to be like, I want to be like them.
That's good though.
It is good, but it also I think has been hard because like I think for a lot of people, like especially in like the corporate world or in like more standard jobs, it's easy to be like, okay, I want to be like the VP or like I want to be like that person. I've never found someone who I want to be like.
Because your job doesn't exist yet.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So I think it's getting to that point and like figuring that out by making my moves.
I love that. You know what content of yours that is my favorite?
Yeah.
It's you doing your outfit videos.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh my God, thank you.
You have such great style.
Thank you.
And it's so creative and I don't know. I feel like I'm guilty of this. Like I'm just I'm like, oh, this I saw this on Instagram. It's cute. I'm gonna buy it and wear it and then talk about it. You really have personal style.
Thank you.
So you should really, I feel like, hone in on that. Like
I
do
know.
More outfit
and I
videos.
Do and I do love that. Like I love the like fashion and beauty side of stuff. My thing I will say, and it kind of is why I think it's a bit harder, is my style is like my closet is now, I would say, almost like 85% thrifted. Which is great for my personal style. Like, that's why I think I, like, manage to, like, find really unique things and, like, make really cool outfits. But, like, on the internet, like, because a lot of showing outfit videos is, like, helping other people with inspiration or, like, helping them find something. But people always be like, oh, where are your pants from? And I'm like,
thrifted.
Bought them for
$5
at their store.
Inspiration.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Or, like, you're, like, this baggy pant goes really well with this
totally.
Baggy. It's you know what I mean?
No, and I love doing that.
I live. The little pink set you wore the other,
oh my God,
I was
you.
Like, safe.
That is really your style, too.
It's so
you would style
cute.
It so differently than
I
me,
would.
But it would look so cute on you.
Where's that from? Did you thrift that?
That one, actually, no. It's from a brand called Cezanne. They sent it to me. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out.
I know.
I
and
need
that's
it.
The other thing, too. Like, I'm... This you know this, like, this world is, like, so oversaturated with, like, creators and brands, and, like, I'm very, I also, like, have too much stuff, and I've been really trying to be better at getting rid of stuff that when I, like, get asked for, like, if someone wants to gift me something or, like, a brand wants to send me, I generally, like, won't say yes unless I really think it's my style or, like, that I'll actually wear it because, one, I don't want to waste their time. I don't want to, like, have something and then throw it away or donate it or something.
I agree.
So I really have become, I've tried to become way more particular about like the things that I, the brands I work with or the gifting that I get or like the sweet gifting suites that we go to. Like, I don't want to take stuff just for the sake of taking stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I really want it to like make sense for me. And like when I saw that like set, the pink set, I was like, I mean, this isn't technically my style, but I really think it could look cool.
Well, I was going to say that's the, that's what's so cool about getting gifting in general is it allows me to play with style without taking the risk of spending like $300 on whatever, which I know is a huge privilege, but it really does allow you to experiment. But also it, there was a time where I was like, would I buy this? Like, do you know what I mean? I was like, is this me? Which of course, like, who's not going to take stuff at a gifting suite, especially when you're first starting out, you're like so excited.
Yeah,
I'll take any of all the clothes I could get. But it allows you to try stuff I normally wouldn't, which I love.
No, same. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but the pink was so cute on you.
If I'd seen that in a store, though, like, I don't know if I would have ever picked it up. But, like, seeing it as, like, an option of something, I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool, and I loved it.
No, I'm pretty sure I saved it. I was like, I need this.
You do need it. You do need it.
Okay, well, pimp yourself out. Where can everyone follow you?
Pimp myself out. Okay, at Ella Priya on basically everything, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. And yeah.
And what about the I Like
and
You?
And I Like You is just at I Like You. We have Instagram, or TikTok is Isaac's TikTok, but mostly Instagram. We post all our parties there. So if you want to come to a party, follow it. You'll keep up to date.
Okay, amazing.
We're making new t-shirts. We've made a new cute and cunty t-shirt in red.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I need that.
With your red lip.
Yeah, I need
you
that.
You need that? I got to give you one.
Wait, what about, are you allowed to say, are you taking on new creators or anything like that?
Yeah, no, okay. We're always taking on new creators. You know, I love talking to people and like seeing what their goals are, and like helping with their strategy. You know, we're always looking to sign more people. We work exclusively or non-exclusively with a lot of content creators. So if you do need help with stuff, always happy to. And
should I DM or how do they?
Yeah, okay. You can email or DM. The account is ShalaNYC, and my email is ella@shala.nyc. And yeah, no, that's always a great thing. Same for brands. We help a lot of brands with stuff. So if you guys want to need help with any influencer partnerships, campaigns.
Amazing. And, or if you're just a hot guy and want to sign a
Or if you're a hot guy, you know, maybe you have an American passport.
Single.
You're single.
And an American Express.
Yeah, an American Express. And you're really cute. We would love that. But no, it's okay because me and Tika are going to find love this summer.
Yeah, we are. We're going to be wing women for each other.
Exactly.
I can't wait. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I absolutely adore you.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
So fun. And everyone go follow Ella and be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.